Okay, with Graham Northrup, Gift is a short film played at the Fantasy Sci-Fi Film Festival. It's definitely a fantasy film, that's for sure. I'm so curious about films like this because it's obviously from your inside your imagination. What's the seed of this idea? Was this like a story before or like a novel series? Like, or this was just like a standalone short film?
It was a standalone short film with the idea that I would love to expand it later on. But the seed of the idea came from this actually working a lot with my wife and other people who we find that they give of themselves, but they keep giving and giving and giving until it drains them and they burn themselves out basically. And so I thought of this idea: what if there was literally a person who could heal people, and but it also drained her. But she's young and hasn't yet managed how to, or figured out how to manage that power that she has. And so yeah, then I built the story around that. And sci-fi is my favorite genre, so that's the way I went with it.
So the when you just described that, I'm thinking the Stephen King novel, or the Stephen King film, The Green Mile, because that happens with that character too, right? Where he heals somebody, but then he gets he his energy drains, I guess, right?
Yeah, where he has to get rid of it somehow or expunge it or whatever. But yeah, it's a similar idea that there's this unique person out there who can do these things. But then, yeah, the way my story developed is, she obviously needs to figure out how to use it. But then there's other people around her who exploit it, and that becomes a problem for her as well.
So, well, it's human nature in a nutshell, right? So, someone's always going to exploit something powerful, I guess, right?
Yeah.
So you wrote, so this is like you said, this could be a proof of concept for like a TV series or a movie, but you wrote it as like as a 20-page kind of short script, I guess, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I knew I wanted to leave it open, but I did want it to feel like a standalone film, that just left people's audiences imagine left the audience's imagination open to possibilities, and what could happen to her, what could happen to the young man in there, and then of course what happens to Jaeger, because that's an interesting twist in the story as well. So, but yeah, I wanted it to feel like it was a standalone.
So the when you're writing the script, like obviously the location is so key to your film, and it seems very specific. Like I'm like you're based in Colorado, so I'm assuming it's in the Colorado mountains somewhere in a general assessment. Did you when you were writing it, did you know, okay, I can shoot it here, I can shoot it there, kind of thing? Were you thinking like as a producer, as a writer, or producer?
Yeah, I live in this wonderful, beautiful place up near Aspen. I live about a half an hour down the road from Aspen, Colorado, and it's just gorgeous up here. And I thought, the mountains and the terrain can be a character in the story a little bit. And I also like to pay tribute to my home state of Colorado as much as I can and do as much filming here as I can, bring some of that industry here. So yeah, when I was writing it, in fact, one of my the main actor who plays Liam, he suggested, "Oh, wouldn't it be cool if we could do it in the burn scar? We had a forest fire a few years ago, and we could be shooting it in this burn scar, and that would make it look post-apocalyptic and all that stuff." Unfortunately, there had been too much new growth in there, and we couldn't get to it real easy, so we ended up scrapping that idea. But this idea of a post-apocalyptic landscape, where there's factions who are fighting and butting up against each other, and there's warlords who are and some factions and some territories are worse than others, and that sort of a thing. So, but in this instance, yeah, they're in the mountains and they're escaping through the mountains to get away from the militia that's chasing them.
Well, let's go. Fortunately, like there's a good fortune that there was growth, I guess, in that area, I guess, right? That it's coming back. The
Yes, thank goodness. Yes.
just unfortunate for the film itself, I guess, right? So.
Yeah, no, but I mean, obviously, as you watch the film, you see that we had some great locations.
Yeah.
We found that abandoned cabin just on national forest land. So we're like, "Hey, can we use that?" And they said, "Sure." So we there's a that's in there, and yeah, just beautiful landscape, and yeah, and I think it lends itself well to the story, this kind of hunt, hide and go seek, sort of storyline. And
So the one actor, does he actually cut himself in the wrist there, in the wrist area?
well, I'm glad you asked. No, he did not. He did, that was a sharp stick. He did not break his skin. The rest was, compositing and, special effects
You
there.
did that in post-production or?
Well, so we did AB blood on the stick itself, so it gave a little red mark when
Yeah.
he put it in, and then but it wasn't as red as we wanted it to be, so I went in afterwards and sweetened it a little bit.
It's very effective, that's for sure.
Thank you. I'm glad it
Yeah,
worked.
if you asked him, he probably would have done it though, right?
He's committed. He's a guy. In fact, he just got nominated for a best supporting actor for that role, so he was very committed.
He's a one. It's well, it's one of those roles that like he can. It can. It's over the top, of course, but it's like it be. He's got to stay inside the lens of the film you're making too, right? Like sometimes actors can go off a little bit on a journey in their own little character, but that character has to be a little bit grounded, one would assume.
Yeah, and the idea we didn't want him to be crazy. We didn't want him to be this kind of insane person.
Yeah.
What we wanted him to come across as is damaged, you know, someone who has been through hell and is now taking that hell out on other people. And so that's what throws him for a loop is when Kirsten, you know, does her thing with him, he's like, "Wait, what's going on here?" And so, you know, that's just the idea that all of his experiences have caused him to act in a certain way, and then she
Yeah.
contravenes that and it opens up new possibilities for him.
So the genesis is that is like the military wants her powers, I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, this guy wants to keep his soldiers in the fight, so the commander sends out his people to bring her back and keep healing his soldiers so he can send them back out to the fight.
Oh, so well, you can't blame the guy, right? So for trying, I guess.
Right. Of course, he doesn't come across as the best kind of person either. You know, when you first see him, he's roughing some guy up, maybe
No,
killing.
they're the antagonists. Like you've found that line between the good and evil, I guess, right? So,
Yeah, and it was a fun process, kind of fleshing out those characters and then helping the actors, get where they needed to be for those. It was good. It was fun.
because during the pursuit, we're rooting for these characters, right? To
Yeah.
get away from the military people, right? So.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And
For
so
sure.
tell me about like shooting out there, like in the like a lot, like I said, a lot of it's in the woods out there. I'm assuming it was hard to get the crew and the cast out there, and tell me about that process.
The first location in particular was very difficult. The one you see in the opening scene, mostly because, we could bring our cars in a certain distance, but then we had to hike up a mountain about a quarter mile. And it rained, snowed, and had sunshine all on the same day. And so continuity was a challenge, but also just getting up and down the mountain with, carrying C stands and sandbags and camera equipment and all that stuff. And it was very cold. So yeah, it was a challenge for the crew, but I'm glad we got it out of the way on the first day because the next 3 days were actually we spent 4 days filming. Yeah, that one was the toughest physically. But we got it done and it looks great. So, and then the rest of the times were just, we tried to find as remote a locations as possible, but also accessible by at least our RV. You can get in there at least a little ways, can get back to it as needed.
Yeah, because you're using like the background as your production. I guess you had to I guess create the military kind of like camp, I guess, right? You had to create that sequence.
Yeah, so it was an RV and trailer sales lot. We talked to the owner, said, "Hey, can we come film in your backyard essentially?" And there was already barbed wire up, on the top of the fence, and it looked kind of industrial. So we figured this might be a location that an ad hoc military might have come in and made a base out of or whatever. And so we dressed it a little bit, got some camo netting and other things. One of our guys, one of our my producers, co-producer's husband had a flamethrower, and we're like, "Oh, we got to put that in there." So right now it's just sitting in the background, but yeah, we have a flamethrower in there, and we have set up extras to make it look like there was stuff going on in the background. And most of the scene, or at least the first third of that whole sequence, is a one shot. So, we're traveling with the commander and seeing all this stuff going on around. So that took some setup. But yeah, I thought it turned out pretty well.
Are you a fan of Westerns at all? Because it had a certain Western vibe to it when I'm watching your film.
You know, I do like Westerns. I don't watch them all the time. Most recently I just watched True Grit, the remake, the Coen brother
Yeah,
remake.
totally. It's another one of those tracker films, I guess, right?
Exactly,
So, yeah.
and he's carrying this girl, and then there's a guy, the brother is carrying his sister in mine, and so yeah, there were some definite similarities in there. I don't think I was channeling it when I was writing it or directing it, but maybe just there were some seeds there in the background that were.
Yeah, because it does have that vibe, right? Like the Searchers or like John
Yeah.
Ford. It does have that kind of like vibe to it. So I don't know if like.
Yeah. And a lot of post-apocalyptic stories kind of end up as Westerns because civilization has now broken down and you're back on the frontier again and
Yeah.
you're trying to survive out in this, this wasteland, think Fallout. But yeah, all these these motifs, I think they come to the fore in post-apocalyptic fiction because yeah, you're going from town to town, settlement to settlement, trying to avoid the bad guys and trying to find good guys and trying to survive off the land. It's all very much tied, the Western, it's very similar to the Western vibe, so.
Yeah, 100%. So tell me about your cast. We referenced the one gentleman, but
Yeah.
the female, like the sister, she's great and she's like fantastic in the film. Where did you find
Thank
her?
you.
Where did you find the rest of the cast?
Yeah, so I wrote this with her in mind. She was a student of mine. I've taught theater for 25 years, and she was one of my students. She's a senior in high school. She's graduating this
Oh
year.
wow, she's young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's very young. She's 17, maybe 18 now. And so when I was I had her in a class and I knew she was good. So I thought, you know what? If I'm going to write a story that's going to be shot locally, I'm going to use the resources that I have. And so I wrote it for her, with her in mind, and then I did go ahead and audition her, and she was just like I thought. She was great for it, so we cast her. And then there was the her brother, his name is Elijah Pettit. I've worked with him before, on various projects, another film of mine, and then some other films and theater projects, and so I knew he was good and had a great look on film, so. Cast him, and then we just cast a wider net for those other supporting roles and got a guy for the commanders from Denver, Colorado, which is about 3.5 hours away. The lieutenants from Salt Lake City, Utah, which is about 5 hours away. And then Jaeger is from Georgia, which is a couple of states away. So
Oh wow. Yeah, more than a couple states away.
yeah, it's
Other
yeah,
side of the
back
country.
southeast. Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, and then the extras were all locally, friends of ours and local actors and things like that that we brought on board.
You got a couple fight scenes, the specifically the one with the sister and the brother and the blood guy. I'm just kidding. So tell me about doing that those scenes. Did you like did like how did someone choreograph those scenes for you? Like, what was the process?
Yeah, so I have a friend named Sean Jeffries. He's a all around theater guy and film guy, and he's a fight choreographer. So I got him on board to choreograph the fight, and I kind of gave him the parameters and kind of what we were going for, and he designed this fight. And then we had a day of rehearsal where they spent about 3 or 4 or 5 hours, going through the fight scene. And I came and watched it and gave him some feedback, all that stuff, and came up with this fight. And then on the day, which was a couple of days, it was our second day of shooting. We did the fight, and obviously we're adjusting to parameters on the live set. We find out that there's like a stump in the grass where we're trying to fight, and having to work around that, and things like that, and just working with the dynamics of the camera, and what are we doing shaky cam, are we doing what that sort of thing, how much are we doing in close up, how much are we doing wide, so make all those adjustments. And it took a large portion of our day, but I think it turned out really well. And of course, when you sweeten it with sound and post, it increases the effectiveness all the more. And yeah, I think we feel for the characters when the stuff happens, so that was my goal.
Yeah, you totally set it up. It's the best way to describe a good fight scene where like there's emotional context where we care who's gonna live or die, I guess, right?
Exactly.
So when he gets, pardon the spoiler, but when he gets stabbed, it's pretty effective. It's a very effective scene.
Thank you. Yeah, we were hoping that would be the case, and and just I think the actors really pulled it off. I think that's the key there is that it was a they brought a great deal of authenticity to it. And then of course, yeah, you all the post-production sound and all that stuff really just really brings it to the fore. Yeah, and you're worried about them. You're in fact, when we were watching it with live audiences, people gasping when that happens, and that was like music to my ears, because knowing that they were emotionally invested,
Yeah.
and then up at that moment they responded vocally, so that was really gratifying.
Okay, so you got to tell us, how did you do the eye scene?
Okay, well, so we wanted to go as practical as possible. So, I had my
Just to give
props
people
guy.
context, the one the gentleman, the bad guy, the antagonist has like a patch, and then there's a
Yeah.
scene where like his eye socket comes out, and one assumes that
Exactly.
he's got his eyes in real life are okay.
Yes, yeah, his he's
Okay.
got the actor has two real
Okay,
eyes, good
so
eyes.
go ahead. I just want to give people context if they haven't seen the
Yeah,
film yet.
absolutely. And so his eyes is coming, his cyborg eye is coming out at one point in the film. And so the first step was to make it look like it was popping out. So what we did, we rigged up a balloon behind his eye patch, and then there's someone standing behind with a bike pump, pumping down when we say action, and it balloons that eye patch out so it feels like there's something pushing on it from behind. And then we cut away, and then we cut back to he's got it in his hand, this prop of a cyborg eye, and he's pulling it out, and there's blood, there's our makeup artist is dripping blood through the top of the eye patch out of frame, and so it's dripping down. And then the thing that really sells it for me is Daniel, the actor, those the wires that are behind it, he pulls it out, and then it kind of thunks. He thunks it out, so it really feels like it's coming from somewhere.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he pulls off the eye patch, and lo and behold, his real eye is back. It's healed, pushed out the cyborg guy. So that was just a fun scene to do. And we only had like one or two takes on the whole thing because we didn't have time to like clean up all the blood and start over again and all that stuff. So we got it in just a couple of like we I think the camera just kept rolling, and we did it just a couple of times. And yeah, and we got it. It was fun.
That's amazing. So, and like, so post-production is obviously key to your film. You said you referenced that you kind of touched things up, but I want to ask you about you mentioned it before. Let me ask you about your sound design. Who did your sound design?
A friend of mine named Dave Taylor, who owns a recording studio nearby in Carbondale, Colorado, and he's a fellow filmmaker as well. And he as when we were doing the fundraising campaign for this film, he actually donated his services as in post-production sound. And so I was like, sweet. And so yeah, we gave it to him. And yeah, a lot of really subtle stuff that, twig snapping and footsteps and wind blowing and all that stuff, things that you don't really think about directly when you're watching it, but create the ambience, the environment that we're living in that world. And then some song selections and things like that that went in there as well. So yeah, it just really sweetened the natural ambience of the film. And yeah, and punches and things like that sweeten the fight scene a bit. And so yeah, he really created a soundscape that suited the film.
Yeah, 100%. And so who did the edit? Who was the editor?
I edited.
I'm assuming, yeah, you seem to have
Yeah.
that personality to do that, yeah.
Yeah, I edited, obviously you save money that way, I suppose, too. But I did have lots of people look at it. You can get kind of blind to your own,
Yeah.
biases and choices and stuff. So I had people look at it and tell me, oh, this could be tighter, this could, whatever, those sorts of things. So that was nice to get that feedback. And then I did some of the special effects, some of the compositing and whatnot. But we did have a VFX house. Ethereal Editorial did some of our VFX, the cyborg eye, when he's looking around the mountain. And then and the healing when the flesh healing scenes, they did those, and they actually won a best VFX award for those. So
All right, so on your bio, it says that you have five daughters. Is
yes, I
that
do.
true?
Yeah. And I've got a 22-year-old who's married, and then I've got a 20-year-old, 18-year-old, 15-year-old, and 12-year-old. And the 15 and 12-year-old are still at home. The older three are all at college now. So,
The 22-year-old married. That's pretty. That's.
yeah, she got married young, but yeah, no, her husband is great, and yeah, having a great time. I just my next step is that call when they tell me I'm a grandfather. I'm not ready for that one yet,
Yeah.
but
Well, I'm sure you've been asked this before, but I'm assuming that you and your wife just will procreate females. It's like that's just a natural thing for you to.
The joke was we're just gonna keep trying until we get a boy, but yeah, we never got a boy. But yeah, we love kids, and yeah, they've been a big part of our life. Our daughters are awesome. They're talented and skilled, and can't wait to see what they do in there when they grow up. But yeah.
Well, that's what happens though, like a lot of families, right? They just spawn one sex.
Yeah. Well, just anecdotally, in high school, I remember this one girl looks at me and she said, "You look like the kind of guy who would have a lot of girls." And I'm like, "How, what, how would you know that? What does that mean?" And but sure enough, I had a lot of girls.
Do you remember who that person was?
No, I don't remember her name.
That's such a random thing to say.
It was a very random thing. And I'm like, 10 years later, it's coming true, or starting to come true. So.
That's amazing. Is any of them going to get into your field of expertise?
Well, my second daughter is majoring in theater, and my fourth and fifth daughters just finished their high school musical, Mean Girls, in which they
I saw it
played.
on your Facebook page. Yeah, you're really promoting that.
And I was able to direct it as well, which was fun. But my 15-year-old daughter played Katie Heron, the one of the leads in it. So that was a lot of fun as well. So yeah, they might be following my footsteps a little bit.
So how does that, like, quick segue, because I'm curious about these high school productions.
Sure.
How does that work? Do you have to get the rights to get to do the Mean Girls play from somebody?
Yeah, there's a Musical Theater International, MTI, is the main one you go to get the rights. And yeah, you just pay, based on the, how many performances you're doing and what your average audience size is, and you give them the royalties, and then they send you the materials, and then you can produce the play.
And then so they you have to pay, like, it's even for high school productions, you still have to pay them, I guess.
Yeah, musicals are expensive. I mean, I'm sure it was at least like $2,500 to put that on, but
To pay them to do
just for the
the,
rights. Yeah, just for the rights. Yeah.
and then but then you get the they don't take any back end from the
Oh
ticket.
yeah, whatever you raise in box office, you get to keep, and of course you have to pay your staff and whoever's,
Sure.
involved in there. But
Yeah. I'm not saying you're gonna make money. It's a high school production. It's like, yeah,
yeah.
but
Yeah,
so
no, it's a lot of fun and great experience for the students as
are
well.
you allowed to, like, you can't change anything? You can't change a couple lines here, a couple lines there. You have to stick with the.
Yeah, that's one of the main differences between film and theater is like when you buy a script to produce from somebody, you buy it, you own it, and you can change anything you want. You can, rewrite the entire thing and just accept the title. But in theater, it's licensed, so you cannot change a thing without permission.
Yeah. But then again, I'm sure there's not like someone coming to Colorado to say, I don't know, that line. They could have said they, and then they said them, but no, I'm
Right,
kidding. But
It could be you could be on the hook for that, but we try not to change
you
too
could
much.
change the gender though, I guess, right? They're not going to give
Yeah, in
you.
fact, we had tw you know 20 24 people in the cast, and only two of them or three of them were guys, and so we had to gender swap some of the roles a little bit.
Got to get more guys in theater, man.
I know,
Your
but
football team's doing terrible. Like, get them to go to theater.
right.
Sorry.
No, it's all good. Yeah, that was it's always a challenge. So, but yeah, no, we made it work, and the guys that were with us were great. And yeah.
Yeah, cool. All right. Well, what are you working on now? You working on something else now?
So I have a feature screenplay that I've written that I'm hoping to produce next year. It's called The Pass. It's a supernatural thriller. It takes place out in the mountains here in Colorado. In the meantime, I'm actually, excuse me, I'm working on a rom-com that we can shoot in Aspen and at Christmas time, so it'll be like that, Christmas and Aspen rom-com, and
Like a Hallmark movie kind of thing.
yeah, kind of like a Hallmark. Well, it'll hopefully a little more substantive than your typical Hallmark, but we hope to kind of sell it to the Hallmark crowd
Hey,
anyway.
don't be crapping on the Hallmark movies.
No, they do great business. In
They're a
fact, I know
billion-dollar
a guy who lives.
industry, right?
I know
So
a guy who lives in Aspen who has a production company that sells 40 movies a year to Hallmark.
I bet. See, but I always want a Hallmark movie where the guy and the girl don't get together in the end. They're like, you know
Oh, that's
what?
interesting.
We had a good time, but I think it's time for us to go our separate ways.
Well, that would be interesting. It wouldn't be a comedy, I guess. It
Why
might be a
not? Why wouldn't it be a comedy?
well, it could, I suppose. But
Yeah.
usually in comedy, everyone gets married in the end or
No,
whatever,
but
right?
that's the whole thing. It's like, you know what? We've evolved as a couple, and you know what? It's time for us to, like, to mer go find our dreams.
Yeah.
There's a reason why they're breaking up. Like, he's got to go become a horse rancher, she's got to become an actress in Hollywood, and then
Actually, that's kind of the plot of La La Land,
there
which
you
is a
go.
rom-coms. They did not get together in the end.
They did
So
not get together in the end
you
because
may be onto
basically
something.
she needed to go off and do her thing. She wouldn't have been famous. She wouldn't have been the actress that she was if she stayed with them. So.
Right, exactly. Well, yeah, so we're hoping to shoot that this December and then get that out the door, sometime early next year. So yeah, otherwise I'm, helping, I got writing partners, so I'm helping them, put their work forward and that sort
You're
of thing.
busy.
So yeah, trying to stay busy.
And I'm not going to say your your address, where you live, but I love the name of your of the street that you live on. You don't say anything. Just like I just love the name of the street that you live on. I wish
Oh,
my
thank you.
name, the street of my name was named after that. So.
Yeah, it's fun. It's the whole neighborhood is named after animals.
Oh,
So,
really?
yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
Only in
a lot of fun.
Colorado. All right, man.
Right?
Well, thank you very much. Great film. Really
Thank
nicely
you.
put together. Nice cinematography. Nice shot selection. Obviously,
Thank
good
you.
performances. Great post-production, all levels. I hope the film serves you well and keep going.
Thank you. I appreciate it very
You
much.
tell your lead actor to she should probably venture off to the West and get an agent because she's very talented.
She's about to go to Tisch at NYU, so hopefully
Okay,
that'll
go East then.
open
Yeah,
some
that's even
doors.
better. Yeah,
All
she can get some
right, thank you
culture.
so much.
All right, man, thank you so much.
All right, take care.